You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with Keep Seeking Him.
Six. For those of you who are in the house and the women are still making the coffee, the Bible says Hebrews. Hebrews 11, chapter and verse 6. Some of y'all said, what is it? I told you once I had to explain. It ain't funny no more. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Come on, let's read together. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Amplified, that verse says, without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and he is the rewarder. I like that because the traditional King James says a rewarder, but I like what the Amplified says. He is the rewarder. Amen. He is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. Amen. You may be seated. We're continuing to teach from the series that I started, I guess, 4 weeks ago now, entitled Keep Seeking Him, based upon the fact that the scripture tells us that God rewards those who diligently seek him. And when we talk about diligently seeking him, the emphasis is on diligence. That is not a one-time thing. It can't just be a callous, coincidental thing. It has to be an intentional, thoughtful, requiring effort type of action. Diligence, we said, is careful and persistent work or effort. It's steady and earnest, energetic effort. It's persistent exertion of body and mind. So you got to be real deliberate about continuing to seek God. Because you can get to the place, I can tell you, and you know, the Lord had to deal with me about that several years ago. I mean, come on, y'all have heard my testimony. I mean, we were so broke and so I would not say it at the time when we were going through this, but poverty stricken. Come on, if you don't know how you're going to keep the roof over your head, okay, and if you really have to believe God for the next meal, you're in poverty. Okay, now I wouldn't say that then because that was a negative confession, but now that I'm out of it, I can say I'm out of that negative stuff. You understand? But some of y'all don't understand why I preach about finances and money now, all that stuff. Because I hate poverty. So you see some people, some of y'all, you gotten used to poverty. I hate poverty. And I said to my wife yesterday, we were talking about something, and I said, I don't know if I said it to her yesterday. I think I said it to her yesterday. Maybe this morning. Okay. We're riding in the car. And I said, honey, you know, sometimes I feel sorry for children who are in particular situations. And then I realize, but I'm feeling sorry for them because I know different. The child sometimes don't know. Like a lot of us, we didn't know we were poor until we saw what rich looked like. You understand? I mean, we were cool until we thought everybody was struggling. You know, I remember as a result of not having a father in the home, I would always... when I went to school with children who came from two parent household, they kept saying, I got to ask my dad. I couldn't relate to them. Told me I got to ask my dad. What you got to ask your dad for? I got to ask my dad. I got to ask my dad for money. I got to ask my dad. Well, what the dad got to do with this? Cause my dad wasn't in the home. You understand? And so sometimes you can be in something, but you get used to it because you don't know there's a difference. And so early on, I got exposed to the fact that as a result of me growing up in the project, but going to school every day with middle class kids in two parent household, they were living different than me. They were able to make different choices. I mean, they were always announcing stuff in school that it was I didn't even, they might as well not even make the announcement. Like, this summer, we're taking a trip to France. All of you want to, and it was me, and go home, talk about it. I wasn't going on no trip to France. Okay, I couldn't go to trip New York. That was right across the water. Okay. So I started realizing they had different options than me. I started realizing they make different choices than me. I started realizing. And then I started realizing things as I got older, you know, things that were a crisis for me weren't a crisis for everybody. Everybody who car break down and need brakes, that's not a crisis. Don't y'all get mad at me. Come on. No, really. Every time winter comes and you have a real cold stint, and you know you're going to have to keep the heat on, and now the electric bill or the gas bill going to be high next month, that's not a crisis for everybody. Everybody who child played basketball and break their finger and got to go to the emergency room and get a cast, or that ain't a crisis. That's not a crisis for everybody. It's poverty that makes those things a crisis. It's lacking money that makes those things crisis. Because when you lack money, when you lack money, everything can become a crisis that can just be a mere inconvenience. I'm just saying all of that to say that I hate poverty. Okay. But I realized, and so as a result of me getting out of poverty, I got to a place. So when I was there, I saw God. I went on fast for income. I went on fast that this need would be met. I went on fast and I prayed all night for strategy from God about these student loans. Are y'all listening to me? So what was I doing? I was seeking God. I need answers. I need a turnaround. I need you. I need you to work a miracle. And I sought God earnestly to get me out of those financial dilemmas. I invested in myself. I read books. I was at every financial conference. If you told me that to sow this kind of seed, if I saw it in scripture, I'll start doing that. And so I started doing what I could do. I was seeking God. And then it got to a place, y'all, that I don't have. I was reading over something the other day. Sister George Gladney, is he here? One of our first finance conferences, I did a teaching called Life After Debt. And I did 2 or 3 days on this teaching on life after debt. Well, Sister George Gladney, one of our members, she's been here for many years, she transcribed the whole message for me and put it in print. She said, Pastor, you really need to make this a book. And so while I was cleaning out the closet, the office, I found it. So I started reading over the transcript of the message. And in the message, honey, I said, I'm believing God that on any given day I can give away $1,000. That's where I was at the time. I said, I'm believing God that, and I said, I believe God that on any given day I can give $1,000. Well, can I tell you, I'm there now. And then it said, and I believe when we get there, now my confession going to be, on any given day, I can give away $10,000. So now that's my confession now. I was just reminded of it. On any given day, I can give away $10,000. I can sow $10,000. My point is, I sought God. But, you know, so I'm not at that place of poverty anymore. And so I don't seek God like that anymore, at least for finances. My point is, we can get comfortable. We can get comfortable in our faith. We out of that trouble now. Come on, we're out of the pressure now. Maybe your issue wasn't finance. Maybe it was healing. Maybe you were in a bad marriage and you cried night and day and God delivered you however he delivered you. Okay, I ain't questioning nobody's deliverance. However you got delivered, you got delivered. And so you don't pray about that bad marriage anymore. Okay, maybe you were really struggling raising your children and you didn't know what to do and your child was rebellious and acting out and breaking curfew and you didn't know where they were and you pressed into God crying night and day, God, I'm praying for my child, and now the child has finished college, the child on their own, look like the child's doing all right, and you don't see God like that anymore. Are y'all with me here? Because everybody's issues ain't finances. Maybe it was a family issue. Maybe it was a marriage issue. Maybe you were started a business. You were fledgling in your business, and you really wanted this business to take off. And you needed new clients, and you needed customers, and now you got more business than you can refuse. I said to I have a couple staff members on in our church, and they balance with it, and who do other things on the side to create other streams of income. And when I was talking to one of my staff members the other day, he said, "Pastor," I asked him about something that I saw. We saw on the internet, and we know the quality of his work. And when we saw it, we said, "This looks like your work. Did you do this?" He said, "Yeah, I volunteered. I did that to him." He said, he said, I didn't want to put my name on it." He said, because I might get too much business. He said, "I might have too many." I said, "No, don't, that ain't how we do this." I said, "You get the too much business and you pick, choose, and refuse. That's how you do that. That's you got now I got to teach y'all how to manage overflow." Yeah. I said, "Get the too much business and you pick, choose, and refuse. Or you tell them, 'I'm already backed up. If you want me to do this, it may be 90 days before I can get to it.'" I was getting ready to get something in my house. The man came to the house. He said, he asked me, show me how it could be done. And he said, "Yeah." He told me how much it cost. He said, "But I probably can't get to this." This was in August when I called him. He said, "I probably won't be able to get to this till about March. But there's only two or three of them in the area who do this. Get the overflow of business, and then you can pick, choose, and refuse." So sometimes we're not seeking God because we're not as hungry anymore. Oh, my God. But can I tell you, you got to stay hungry for God. Jesus said, if you hunger and thirst, you'll be filled. Don't ever stop being hungry for God. Don't stop being hungry for more of his power, for more wisdom, for more of his presence. Come on. If you got enough money, still want more anointing. If you got enough business, still want more of his peace. Still want more of his mind. You should never get to the point that you're so satisfied and so comfortable with wherever you are in life that you stop seeking God, because he's a rewarder of them that what? That diligently seek him, which means to keep on seeking him. Jesus encouraged us to be seekers. Ask, shall be given. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. I believe one of those translations says, is either New Living Translation of Matthew 7:7 or Amplified. It says, keep on knocking. Keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Keep on asking. And watch this. And even if you got the answer to this, keep on knocking and seeking and asking for that. There's, in other words, we never get to a place in life, y'all, we don't need God. Look to your neighbor and say, don't get it twisted. I know your money ain't as funny anymore. And I know your body's not racked with pain. And I know you're out of that bad relationship now. I know your kid's doing good. I know you're able to manage your money now. I know you got more than one car now. And you got one of them that's paid for and the other one that you don't really need. And things are looking real good. You can pick, choose, and refuse. You can go in your closet, pick, choose, and refuse. And decide whether you want this or that, or take this bag or that bag. But I can tell you, never get to a place that you don't need God. You still need him. So seeking is going to require consistent effort and consistent diligence. Seeking God is coming to him for his direction, for his correction, for his instruction, and for his involvement in your life. God will get involved in your life if you allow him, because we are grown children. My grown children, there's things that Chandler may be going through, Tyler may be going, Kendra, certain things. I only get involved because they ask me. I'm only involved if they ask me. If they don't tell me, I don't know. Now you need to understand, Mama a little more nosy. Mama always concerned about how their finances are going. You think they? I said, they ain't said nothing, they good. You think they? I said, they ain't said nothing. Yeah, that's see, you think they need, they don't need nothing? If they need, they ask. No, I'm mind my business. I mind my business. Can I tell you, that's how God is with y'all. He'll mind his business until you ask him. If you want his help, ask him. Otherwise, he'll let you do it by yourself. If you think you don't need him, he'll let you operate like you don't need him. until you get to the place and realize I do need you. So if we're going to get his involvement in our life, we have to ask. We have to seek. Jesus realized he needed to seek God. That's why he prayed all night long. And then he called his disciples. He was a seeker. He sought God for direction. He sought God for his next move. He didn't let circumstances and other people's needs and crises dictate what he did. He sought God. He sought God for a schedule. Where he was supposed to be, where he wasn't supposed to be. Because as we go on further this week, seeking yields rewards. Seeking yields rewards. He is a rewarder, the text says, of them that what? Diligently seek him. So seeking yields rewards. So what is something that you are guaranteed from the word to get? If you seek, number one, you'll get answers. Anybody's got any questions? Come on, anybody's got any questions? The rest of y'all don't have no questions. You know, good students always have questions. Does anybody have any questions? People, and I know some of y'all heard that religious stuff. You shouldn't question God. Well, how you going to get the answer? You need to ask God some questions. Number one, you'll get answers. I said last week, pointing out from Genesis 41:16, when Pharaoh didn't know what he was going to do and Pharaoh didn't know what his dream meant, he sends for Joseph in Genesis 41:16. And Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it is not me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer. God will give you an answer. Say that. Say, God will give me an answer. I want you to know when you're facing dilemmas, you have to know that God will give you answers. There's always answers. The Lord spoke that to me many years ago. I know it's become a cliche now because so many things I speak and I say here in this church, that's part of the culture about church. You know, it just kind of models and saying, but they were rhema words and revelation when God gave it to me. But the Lord spoke to me years ago and told me there's always answers awaiting in my presence. There's always answers awaiting in my presence, which is also why I realize that preparation time is never wasted time. Okay, if I ask one of the ministers to be prepared to preach next Sunday and he spent all week seeking God and praying and he get a word and they outlined everything, looked up the Greek, the Hebrew and the Shebrew. Okay, and they looked it all up and I said, no, I'm sorry, the Lord spoke to me and said, no, I need to continue this here next Sunday. And listen to them getting mad, talking about I spent all that time in the presence of God for nothing. are you following me here? Presence in the God, seeking time is never wasted time. Preparation time is never wasted time. Prayer time is never wasted time. Sitting under the word is never wasted time. So Habakkuk says in Habakkuk 2:1, I'm gonna go to the tower. I'm going to watch what he will say to me. I know God will give me an answer. So if you do the seeking, God will do the speaking. If you seek, he will speak. Say that. Say, if I seek, he will speak. Psalms 85:8, it says, I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. Psalms 85:8, I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. What's folly, y'all? Foolishness. He says, in other words, he's saying, seek God. Don't do something foolish. Don't jump out the frying pan into the fire. Don't just mad at somebody because you think they're the last train coming. I got to get out of town. This is the last train coming. Seek God. God will give answers. So we saw Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat faced a crisis of three other nations coming against him. And he realized that the whole nation needed to seek God. Because God already promised in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that if my people, which are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and pray and do what? Seek my face. God promised. And then if they turn from their wicked ways, that means repent. God promised he'll hear. He'll hear from heaven. He'll forgive their sins and he'll heal their land. And God gave them strategy. 2 Chronicles 20:12, it says, they come to God. They say, God, we have no might against this great company. Can I tell you, it takes humility to seek God. You got to acknowledge you don't know what you're doing. You got to acknowledge your need for him. So Jehoshaphat said, we have no might against this company. He said, ain't no sense me getting together and telling them I have a good coaching session and give them a real inspirational talk. He said, I ain't got nothing for them. We are dead in the water if you don't help us. And can I tell you, God delights in us coming to him. I think I got distracted last week when I was telling the story that when we started this ministry, you know, and I said I want to, you know, teach this thing to make everybody join, and I taught this message, and instead of we had 60 people, and one third of them was members, the rest of them was just Shaq, and they was coming, and, you know, Shaq is now, I don't care as much, y'all just make part of a good crowd, but I'm we starting here, I need to know who with me. You know, I really didn't know who was with me. And I said, these people coming, they had not committed, they had not joined. And I said, I'm going to teach this message and make them join. And I said, so this ain't your church, leave. Go find your church, because you're just wasting time. You need to be where this ain't the church supposed to be. Don't come back here. Go find your church. And they took me up on it. And I went from 60 to 20 in 1 week. Right up the street here, and I want to get out and say, y'all, hey, y'all, I'm just playing. Y'all can't take a joke. Why are you so sensitive? But I fell on my face before God that night because I had all these scriptures, had all these points and all these things about church membership, and those who plan in the house of God will flourish. Another guy came here and did that. He's dead now. A pastor who was known, who passed away. But I had him come preach. I had him come preach for us, and he said, "Well, who comes during the noon session?" I said, "Well, we have a lot of our members come." I said, "But we have a lot of non-members who come to our noon Bible study. They come from the community." He said, "They just come." He said, "They ain't members." He said, "They're gonna join today." And I should have told him, "This is my church. I've tried this." Because okay, no, and the truth is, and he came and tried to do that. He was. I wanted to say, I knew this one. He used the same script as I used. Those who planted in the house of God. You know, you got to be connected. You got to be flow. It's like I've used all the scriptures. The anointing that goes from the head down to the beard, down to the skirt. You got to be lined up right. Blah, 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 blah. And some of those folks left who wasn't members and never came back. I said, see, you messed up a church. Okay. And I learned something from that. One thing, I have lunch with my breakfast with my campus pastors, and I said, whenever we preach a message, we preach what God wants us to preach, and what's going to be for the people, not for us. I said, a message should never be self-motivated. Even if it's the truth, it can't be about you. It got to be about God's people. But on that night, I fell on my face like, God, I'm moving, but I was broken. I mean, the ugly snot cry, not just the ugly cry, the snot cry. I was laying on my face. Pastor Marshall told me, I met the carpet years ago. Pastor Marshall told me, introduce yourself to the carpet. I met the carpet over 20 something years ago. I fell on my face. I said, go, I'm starting my church. I've been through all my life. I don't know about passing no church. Help me, Jesus. And the Lord spoke and said, all right, get up. Now we can grow this church. Because I got to the place I realized it wasn't going to be about me. It wasn't going to be about my knowledge. It wasn't going to be about my experience in the church and all the auxiliaries I worked in. It wasn't about the fact that I was the president of the junior choir when I was 14 years old. And then I've done this and I've done that. And I've spoken here and spoken there and done all these kind of things. And I knew the backside of it wasn't going to be about anything I already knew. Ooh, that's a word for somebody. What God's getting ready to do with you is not about anything you already know. It's going to take some wisdom that has to be downloaded from him. You don't know it, but you can know it. Amen. See, because some of us, we think we got too much experience that we don't need God. Whether it's our education, our experience, our exposure. And nothing happened until I got on my face and said, God, I need you to help me. My experience with the corporate world and all this kind of stuff. And you got to understand, and I came from a church. I came from a background where most pastors weren't college educated. Okay, and where, you know, they just had a gift, and so I thought I had the advantage. I'm college educated, you know, I got experience in corporate America, working for Fortune 500 companies, and God said it's not about any of that, because it's not going to be by might, nor is going to be by power, going to be by my spirit, says the Lord. And so if you realize that, you got to seek God, because it's not going to be by your might. It's not going to be by your power. It's not going to be by your degrees. It's not going to be by your education. It's going to be by seeking the Lord.
God delights in us seeking Him and getting His divine direction for our lives. As believers, our desire to seek Him should never stop. Bishop Herbert Bailey explains the promises in seeking God. Order this powerful four-part series today on CD or DVD. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order Keep Seeking Him.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.